And now more Tune Up with Deb, produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Let's send it back to your host, Deb Ross.
Income tax season, and my guest today, Crystal Livingstone. Now, Crystal, you just recently moved. Your office was at a very, very well-known location for a number of years. So tell our listeners where you are now, please.
We moved to the corner of Vance Road and Hollandia Drive, right across from Andre's Electronics, beside the Bottle Depot, beside Harley-Davidson. So we share a parking lot with them. We are at Unit 120, 4001 Hollandia Drive.
Perfect. Yeah. So on our way to do our major Costco shop, we can gather our tax details and drop in.
Yes.
Meet you, meet some staff, and get our taxes done, or at least started while we go do our Costco shop.
You could.
Because we've got to spend money at Costco. We all know that happens.
Well, I've never heard of a situation where you don't.
My husband calls that the $100 store, because you can't go to Costco without spending at least $100, even if you were just going for milk. Mm-hmm. So let's go on with my next set of questions here. I'm curious if there are any commonly overlooked deductions that we should be paying more attention to.
Commonly overlooked deductions really mostly is medical expenses that often people don't know. When they have an insurance plan, the insurance will only pay so much. You can claim the difference on your tax return. If you pay the premiums to the medical, even through your work, as if you're paying the premiums, you can deduct those as private premiums paid. And what encompasses medical expenses, people often aren't aware of all of the things that are covered there. And sometimes people think there's more than there is. But naturopaths, you know, massage therapists, chiropractors, acupuncturists, reflexologists, all of those alternative therapies, those are all deductible. But medical travel is probably the biggest one out of the medical expenses. Medical travel includes your chaperone if you're required to have one. Now, what's really important to note for medical travel, if you go, the medical travel has to be that the service wasn't otherwise available in your area, and you need to have a letter from a service provider, a doctor, a nurse, a dentist, whomever you're going to see, that you were required to travel there because it wasn't available what they were doing. It could be a specialist, it could be, say, a heart surgery, it could be all kinds of things that aren't available in your area. And whether or not you're required to have a chaperone. And that's really important, because if you don't have that and you are reviewed, all of your medical travel will be disallowed. But you can claim both you and your chaperone's medical travel, and you can claim the simplified method. So that can really add up. So where people think they come in and they say they have their medical travel prepared, they brought and added their gas receipts, and, you know, they've added up their meals. And I say, well, we're legally allowed to use simplified method, do the calculation for them, and they had a $500 expense. I've got a $3,500 expense. So, because you can claim your travel for both you and your chaperone, however that looks, right? So if it's simplified, you're claiming it for both of you. So it can really add up. And we've had it, you know, reviewed a number of times, because medical travel can add up to be a lot of money. And, you know, of course, that's always allowed, so.
That's actually a really good tip. I've heard of a number of people traveling for medical procedures. And so basically the one caveat here is that we need a letter.
Yes. Now, in a situation where you live more than 40 kilometers, but not more than 80 kilometers, you can claim the simplified travel, but no meals.
That makes sense.
Now, you're not always going to have a letter, so there's odd situations. You live in Bear Lake, you live in Hickson, and you have to travel to town to see the doctor because there's no doctor in Hickson. Then it's just a matter of keeping track of that, right? Because there is no doctor there, you don't need a letter to prove it, right? But you can claim all of your trips to town to go to the doctor or the therapist or whatever you need to do.
So that I guess is quite commonly overlooked. I hadn't even been aware that people living in outlying communities could claim their travel for medical expenses. That's a really good bonus for people. So let's move on to the consequences that people may face if they don't file their income taxes or if they file their income details late. Can you provide some information on that for us, please?
Absolutely. So when we file late, whether it's after April 30th or June 17th, as the case may be if you're a business, you pay a penalty and interest on any tax payable. And it's important to listen to that, because if you don't have any tax to pay and you're getting a refund, you are not penalized because it's only on the tax payable. So if you've made enough installment payments, and you have, you know, you would have owed tax, but you've paid it and you didn't have time to file it for whatever reason, you're not going to be penalized. The potential consequence is later on down the road, if something is reviewed and disallowed and it causes there to be a balance owing, you would then be penalized because you filed late. So those are, and as far as not filing, if you owe money, after 3 years, typically 3 years, the government will file for you and send you a letter and say, we've assessed these returns for you. They contact you through letters and other means. Non-compliant officers will try to reach out to you. And typically they do that when they know that the taxpayer is going to owe money. They don't do it when what they see on their records is that they owe you money. They won't file your taxes for you. So there are cases where people go years and years and years and years without filing and the government doesn't file for them. But that isn't a game that is a good one to play.
Yeah, those individuals, of course, are missing out if there were benefits, government benefits, that they mm-hmm. would, with other circumstances, be eligible for.
Yes.
I'd like to shift our conversation now to small business tax details and small business bookkeeping. This is a passionate area for me, working in bankruptcy for a number of years and working with tradespeople who came in to sign bankruptcy documents. One of the main reasons for the pain that they were experiencing financially had to do with not filing their income taxes and not taking into consideration the amount that they really needed to withhold in order to be able to pay their income taxes, which of course leads us to a conversation about the bidding process for jobs when it's tradespeople who are bidding on jobs, because a number of tradespeople are not taking into consideration the taxation component and therefore in the effort to keep their doors open are underbidding one another and of course driving the actual valid cost of the job lower and lower. And of course, that foundation of not having the taxes put into that calculation really ends up hurting everyone in that trade. So I'd like to know some information from you, some advice and tips that you can share with us about properly managing the self-employment circus for tradespeople and small business owners, please.
The first piece of advice I would give is to get a piece of advice, to contact someone, to provide you with guidance. It doesn't need to be a scary thing to do, because often when people come to do a small business consultation, people come in very timid, very uneasy, very uncomfortable, because people believe they need to know what to ask, what to say, how to understand it before they have a meeting with someone. However, I don't do tradespeople work, so I don't know what to ask. So I come and say, here's my problem. Can you fix it? And that's what people need to do, is say, this is a situation I'm in. What do I need to do? And just lay it out on the table. I don't know anything. Well, they're not required to know that stuff. They're required to be able to actually just make an appointment to get some advice. How do I move forward? What should I be doing to ensure that I don't get into trouble, and know what their requirements are? You know, that is probably the best piece of advice that I could give.
And I think that is a very well thought out piece of advice. So let's talk about organizing documents and organizing receipts throughout the year for small business people. What type of filing method or storage method for those type of that paperwork would you recommend?
Well, what I would have recommended 5 years ago is just slightly different than what I recommend now, because the world is, of course, adapting and changing. So now we have a lot of digital systems. The best advice, the best filing system is one that they're going to use. So whether we do it, whether it's done monthly, whether it's done annually, whether it's done by the alphabet, whether it's in a filing cabinet, a box, a shoebox, or however it is stored, it's the one that they're going to use is the best one that they need to use.
Yes.
Right? Because it doesn't matter. I could set somebody up with a great digital filing system. If they're not going to use it, it has no value. So I usually work with the business person to figure out what their abilities are and what they're going to do and what they like, and get a best filing system for them.
So then, technically speaking, if tradespeople, self-employed people, and small business owners had perhaps a monthly or a quarterly appointment with someone such as yourself, that would go a long ways to keeping us self-employed, that workforce, on their toes and having their organization as a top priority so that tax season is not stressful for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, we assist approximately 150 monthly clients that do that. They come in monthly or quarterly for advice. Is there anything else you need from me? Do you need me to do it differently? And we work within budgets, right? So any advisor that they work with will do that or should do that, because they need to be part of your team. So if you're a tradesperson, that becomes part of your team. Your banker, your accountant, or tax preparer, bookkeeper is part of your team of building this business. So how can you all work together to ensure the best needs? Often it's outsourcing, companies like mine and similar ones, because it's a lot less costly to outsource a little bit per month than hire someone in-house like your mother's sister's daughter's friend.
How did you know that person? So let's get your contact details. We are at the beginning of April, so there is still some time to drop into your office and get those tax details organized. And for self-employed people, there's time to get all of their paperwork organized and be able to get that stress off their shoulders. Where can we find you, Crystal?
Well, you can find one of my tax preparers at our website, www.flagshippg.ca. We are on Facebook under Flagship Accounting and Management Services, and our phone number is 250-596-9100.
Thanks again for your time.
You're welcome.
To my listeners, thank you for your time, and we'll chat again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.